over 30 years, a Sydney festival has been transforming Sydney's cultural landscape in a bold celebration of big ideas, cutting-edge art, performance and expression. And this year is no different. Plus, it's the opening weekend where all the festivities kick off for this year. And joining you on the line to tell you more about its extensive program is Festival Director Wesley Enoch. Good morning, Wesley.
Good morning.
Happy opening weekend.
Yes, it's fantastic. It's like Christmas has come again.
Woo! It just never stops. Woo, summer. Bloody scorcher, though, to kick things off.
Yeah. Well, you know, what I love about Sydney in summer is you have this fantastic weather that you just get out in the middle of it all. I mean, we've even at the Festival Village, which we open tonight, which is down in Hyde Park, we've actually put in swimming pools. There are these container swimming pools. And last night we did a bit of a preview and people got into the swimming pools early and didn't get out until 11 o'clock at night. They were like wrinkled prunes. It was fantastic.
Well, I expect that line's going to be quite long today considering how hot it is.
Yes, perhaps. But there's heaps of things at Sydney Festival. I mean, as you're saying about the sideshow, there's fantastic a VR ghost train that people are really enjoying already. Just getting into it, where you put a VR headset in on your head and go through this old 1970s ghost train, and you have a whole three-dimensional world, which is pretty extraordinary. We have a karaoke carousel that we do there as well, so people are really enjoying that already.
Yeah, and you also have the return of the glitter box in the same place, don't you?
Yeah, glitter box is great. For those out there who don't know glitter box, think of a perspex box, like a big one. You can fit about three or four people in it, and you choose a song as a group, and you go into this box. And the music plays, and then glitter flutters up, and you dance like a maniac, and you get reflected all the way in, because it's like you're in a mirror in this perspex box. But everyone outside can see in. So, you know when they say dance like no one's watching? Well, just imagine no one's watching, because everyone is.
It's an illusion. It's fine.
Yeah.
I'm sure some great moves will be busted in there. But the program this year is huge. I'm actually quite overwhelmed, because you have, like, what, over 150 activities to do?
That's right, yeah, from workshops, talks, there's a whole series of forums you can go to, and then there's the shows, obviously. About half of our program is free, and last year we had 650,000 people come to Sydney Festival events, and you just get a sense that the city just comes out and celebrates itself during Sydney Festival, which I love it a lot. But there's also things that you can go to and see in theatres. So, like tonight, we've got the opening night of Tree of Codes. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure your listeners out there will know about Jamie XX. He's coming through to tour in a second. But he's done the music for this show called Tree of Codes. And also a fantastic Berlin-based artist called Oliver Eliasson, who's done all the set. And Wayne McGregor, who has worked with lots of different ballet companies, but also did a lot of the movement work on the Harry Potter films. You know, there's like these three artists who are internationally renowned have made this show, and it's at the International Convention Center. Really, really amazing, called Tree of Codes. People have to get into that. It's amazing.
So that's one of the big things that are happening this weekend. What other big shows are happening?
We've got out in Parramatta a show called Model Citizens. Circus Oz, which is one of the oldest kind of contemporary circus companies in the country, is 40 years old this year, and it's got this show called Model Citizen, the sense of what do you have to do to be a model citizen of Australia? Fantastic circus. We had its opening night last night, and the audience just erupted. They just get up off their feet and just erupted into applause and cheering at the end, because it's got something to say. Yes, it's fantastic skills, amazing kind of all juggling and acrobatics and fantastic apparatus they play on, but it's telling the story. And I think that's something Australia does really, really well. So that's a great show. Another show that's opening tomorrow night is called The Town Hall Affair, which this is the Worcester Group, a very lauded, lionized company from New York, an experimental theatre company since the 1960s and 70s. And they've gone back to the 1970s to look at the feminist arguments that occurred. If you think about Germaine Greer wrote Female Eunuch in 1970, and Norman Mailer wrote a response in Harper's Magazine, basically talking about where's the men in feminism and kind of questioning the motivations and things. And they had this town hall meeting, which was made into a documentary. And the Worcester Group have gone back to say, what is it like to think about, you know, 30, 40 years on from these discussions? What has really progressed when we have a pussy-grabbing president, you know, or we have the kind of Harvey Weinstein kind of predatory masculinity in that world. What does it mean? How far have we got? And it's fantastic to see that show. That's that the drama theatre of the Opera House. And it'll be one of those kind of big shows that people talk about, not just for its amazing execution, but also because the ideas are really important.
Yeah, speaking of, don't you have Jermaine Greer appearing on the program this year as well?
Jermaine Greer is one of the characters in the show, and we've flown her out. She'll be watching herself performed on stage on Sunday night.
Oh, wow.
And then she'll be doing a speech on Monday, and I can't wait. You know, look, Jermaine Greer, fantastic kind of thinker. You know, people agree or disagree with her. She's always provocative. Mm. And to watch herself performed on stage, listening to the things that she said in the 1970s, it'd be interesting to see, as she reflects on that, what's changed for her, what hasn't changed, you know, she's got some controversial issues, how they kind of in taken on her career now. All these kind of issues, I think, are really important. And you think, you know, like her or loathe her, she is an elder in the way that we think about the feminist movement, and it's great to have her around.
Yeah, the thing I love about this year's program is it's so intersectional. You've got, you know, talking about feminism, you're talking about race, you're bringing in, you know, a team from the UK for the Barbershop Chronicles. Can you tell us more about that?
Well, Barbershop Chronicles, it's written by a fellow called Enoa Allums, who was born in Nigeria and then became a refugee through Europe and then eventually ended up in London. And he's written this play for the National Theatre in London about young men and older men, but young men and their need to connect, their sense of community, and that the barbershop is a really important place. You know, when you think about men's grooming, men's hair, you go to the barbershop quite regularly to shape and keep your hair in a particular style, if you like. And at the barbershop, you tell stories, you sing, you dance, you have some forms of cultural continuity, you hear the stories of the older people. It's a place to hang out. It's a cultural space as well. And that's what this whole show is on about. That's at the Seymour Centre. And that opens in about another week and a half. But you're right, there's all these ways of looking at the world. Because one of the other themes that we have is the digital environment that we're living in, but also the analog body. How does the human body stay alive in a world where we increasingly get lost in a digital landscape for both our work, our employment, but also our social lives are disappearing into these digital environments, and we maybe are losing touch with our body. So I was talking about the VR ghost train. You know, this wonderful sense where you engage physically in the movement through things as well as staying in the digital. And there's another show that's opening today called WIST, a group from the UK, which are looking at VR and AR experiences and negotiating different sculptures in a space. And I'm about to go see that show at 12 o'clock, so I can't wait to see that one.
Not long ago.
So many things. Yeah. Look, to be honest, look, I could sit here and talk for hours about everything, but it's really follow your nose. Get on the website, sydneyfestival.org.au, and just follow your nose. What do you like? What do you don't like? Who do you want to go with to see things? What are you going to take your mother to or your kids to, or things you want to do with friends, your big night out? There's the Spiegel tent. Sorry, I'll just tell quickly about the Spiegel tent.
No, all good.
at the Hyde Park, it's a great tradition that we put a Spiegel tent in Hyde Park. And we've got two big shows there. One is Briefs, Close Encounters. The Briefs boys were here last year, and this is their new show. And they call themselves an all-boy burlesque or boylesque. And they are cheeky as. They are so amazingly funny. But they're really skilled in acrobatics, juggling. But they make these acts that are really extraordinary and intersectional in that sense of they're talking about gender and gender construction. And the other show is called Riot, and it's from Ireland. And Panty Bliss, who listeners might know, was quite instrumental, quite a big figure in the Irish same-sex marriage discussions happening a couple of years ago now. Panty's there as your host of Riot. And it's a real kind of, it's a look at Irish culture from this fantastic kind of piss take of river dance, you know, this kind of clogging dancing going on, to, you know, commentary on the Catholic Church at times, but also the sense of, you know, having a lot of fun, as the Irish know to do. But the Spiegel Tent is noted for that really fun, out-there cabaret style, which we're going to continue to do as well.
Yeah. And just before you go, though, I also want to talk about Blackout. You have a great Indigenous program as well. Like at Belvoir, you have My Name is Jimmy and My Uruwai. You have a few photography stuff with Tell and also language classes. People can actually learn some local lingo.
Well, I think you know, understanding of First Nations people and concepts here in Australia is very, very important. If we don't own our whole history, we will always be, you know, adolescents, if you like. We will never grow up unless we own the whole history of this country. And so for me, you know, because that's my background, basically, working in Aboriginal theatre, providing platforms for Indigenous stories, it's just a really important thing. And Blackout is the term that we use. Aboriginal people, we say when there's lots of us together, we say, oh, it's a blackout. There's lots of us here. It's a blackout. And so the Blackout program is saying to Sydney-siders and the visitors to Sydney, come along, learn an Aboriginal language from here, from the local area. Come and look at a story like My Name is Jimmy at Belvoir, which is a fantastic story where Jimmy Barney, who played Mabo in the TV series Mabo, great actor, and people might know him from different shows here. He's on stage with his mother, his grandmother, two brothers, and his son, looking at the ideas of cultural continuity and how you pass on language, stories of the past, how he inherited from his father and his grandfather. And he now, at the death of his father, he became the hereditary chief of his island. So he's using this theatre piece as a real sense of, you know, what's his responsibility as an elder, as the chief of the island, to tell these stories, not just to his own people, but to others. So fantastic stories all the way through.
Well, we can't wait to see everything that's happening. Have a wonderful opening week, Anne Wesley, and thank you so much for joining us here today.
No problem. Thank you very much.